Shabbat Shalom. I can say that over and over again. You know, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat today is getting clearer and clearer as we keep learning more and more and more about Yah and the truth. You know, I've been thinking this past week, you know, with the messages and revelations, we're getting to know more and more about Yah, getting more and more clear understanding of what we're supposed to do, just learning more and more and more about what the future holds and what we're supposed to be doing from today till then. And listening to revelations and some things that I've been working on in my life, you know, when he talked about in the end, you know, 15 days in the heavens in the hoopah, it was a wedding day, it just keeps bringing to my thoughts about a marriage between a husband and a wife. And, you know, talking about Babylonia, Babylon is the whoredom, you know. And so today I'm just, you know, going to go over some things that, you know, kind of reflect close to more like wedding vows, the Torah, commitments and a covenant, and just kind of reflecting on some of the things we've learned already these past couple of weeks. But there's a big difference between a couple that's truly married under Yahweh and they hold till death do us part, they hold true to one another, and a person who is in whoredom, who just goes whichever way they want to go. It's all over. There's no holding to truth, anything truth. There's no solid commitment. There's no agreement. It kind of reminded me of, you know, when my wife and I first got together years ago. You know, we was just dating. You know, I was getting to know about her. She was pretty. She liked me. Obviously, maybe I was handsome. I'm not going to say it about myself. But we had an attraction, and we got to know each other. And we learned from with each other about who each other was. And back then, I'd gotten her a promise ring. I remember that the other day. I said, hey, do you still have that little heart promise ring? She said, yeah, I still got it. Because like I said, these past 2 weeks have been reminding me of a marriage. And it's going to be a marriage in the future. And that promise ring wasn't, you know, we wasn't getting married that day, but it was a promise, an agreement that, hey, I really want to be with you. I love you a lot. And the same thing with me. And we grew together. We learned each other's habits and character through time. And then we got the real engagement ring. And then we got married. And when we got married, before you getting married, when you're coming up to that spot, you know, it gets kind of sweaty under the collar there. You know, this is a decision. This is going to be for the rest of your life till you die, till death do us part. And it's a serious decision you have to make. We got Brother Rob and Sister Hillary that's gotten married. My daughter, Marianne and Tyreek. We got some that just newly married here. It seems newly married, but time goes on. But anyways, here we are, and we got some marriages that's happened, and I'm reflecting on that. And so anyways, comes the big time, the way you get married. And when you get married, it's a true commitment and agreement. And so when you think about that, we're learning who Yah is. And we're learning that through his son, Yeshua. Yeshua teaches us how to be married to the Father throughout the whole thing. And so we're going to go through some things here. I'm going to start off with a question would be, you know, maybe some never heard Torah before. Like to reflect on that sometimes. After a while, we get used to this these last couple of years. We already know what Torah is, but we might have some new ones in here. Or I might need to go back and reflect on it again. As many things past has had to go back and, hey, let's just go reflect on these things again. A constant reminder. So Torah. What is Torah? Torah, the Hebrew word for Torah in the Strong's 8451, is translated usually in the English word law. But because it's translation, there's a great misunderstanding that about Torah is not just law. When we use the word law, we assume a certain meaning of it, and it's different in the Hebrew scriptures. Let us start by looking at the etymology of the Hebrew word Torah so that we may better understand its true definition. The word Torah comes from the Hebrew word YRH in the Strong's 3384, a verb which means to flow or throw something. This can be a flowing of an arrow from an archer's bow or the flowing of a finger. And when I first started coming to Faith Temple years ago, pastors always used that term where he says to not miss the mark. It's the mark. The scriptures is when you disobey them, you're missing the mark. You turn away from the mark. But getting a better, clear understanding through learning the past couple of years about Torah and its meaning, it can be an archer who flows an arrow or a teacher who flows his finger to point out the way the student is to go or to walk in life. Another noun is formed the same way, except that the letter is placed at the front of the word instead, and we have the word Torah. Torah is what is flowed by the Morah. This can be the arrow from the archer or the teachings and instructions from the teacher. A Hebraic definition of Torah is a set of instructions from a father to his children. A violation of these instructions or discipline in order to foster the obedience and train his children. Notice how the word Torah is translated in a New International Version translation in the following passages. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. And that teaching would be Torah. So you would say, listen, my son, to your father's instructions, the Torah, and do not forsake your mother's Torah, the Torah. The purpose of a parent's Torah is to teach and bring the children to maturity. If the Torah is violated out of disrespect or defiant disobedience, the child is punished. If the child desires to follow the instructions out of a loving obedience but falls short of the expectations, the child is commended for the effort and counseled on how to perform the instructions better the next time. That's when we make the mistake and we break the law or we break Torah, you know, we break the instructions, we repent and ask Yah to forgive us, and we teshuvah, we turn towards Him. We want to get the arrow to flow that way. We want to get the finger pointed that way. We want to follow His hand of guidance to go that way. And so, blesses the man you discipline, O Yah, for the man you teach from your Torah. Remember, sin is transgressing the Torah. It's ignoring and rejecting His instructions. Set-apart spirit is the one who directs us by Torah, those instructions. Our flesh, in this life now, lives for itself in opposition of all that Torah of Yah teaches. Pastor made an important statement last Shabbat. Every time the spirit of Yah, the spirit that instructs by Torah, tells us something we don't want to do and not do it, will affect our circumstances we are met with in the days ahead. And that's a very true statement. We get there and do things we don't, you know, He tells us to do and we don't feel like doing it. Get up in the morning, read the Torah, pray, do all those things. Your day is going to go incredible because you might be met with a circumstance. And instead of relying on your flesh, which don't like it, you might start grumbling and complaining and get frustrated with the circumstance. You'll be happy and excited because Yah's got you going in the direction you need to go. You may be meeting somebody or something. Let me give you an example of what happened to me yesterday. There's a trip that I acquired through Cajun Unlimited a couple of weeks ago, and I've been fishing the last couple of days, listening to the Spirit of Yah and hitting it right on the mark. It's been incredible. There's some days that I've been contrary to wanting to go that way, but I end up just listening to the Lord, and it ends up being incredible. I'm like, and I think about those days after it happens. I'm like, man, if I would have decided to go my way, I would have had a different outcome. I would have had a way different outcome. I had children on the boat this day. It wouldn't have went well with the children. I had elderly people on the boat this day. It wouldn't have went well with them. It's not always about the fish or what you want to do. You got to listen to the Spirit of Yah. You got to do what He says. And so in this little incident, I went fishing a certain place. It was incredible. The wind was blowing that day, and it was out of the wind. We did great. We caught a great amount of fish. And so my mind, the fleshly mind, is always set on what is done before. But you got to ask, Yah, is that what you want to do? Is that what you want me to do? Is that what I want to do? You got to ask those questions to Yah. But if we don't get up in the morning and pursue Him, we're more than likely to fall into what we thought of before, what we want to do, how we want to do it, or grumble and complain. So to get to the rest of that story, I text Pastor and I said, hey, I'd like the people to get up at, you know, be ready for 5 in the morning. I'm not going offshore fishing snapper because the wind's going to be blowing and I think it's going to be a bad day to go out there. I'm going to go, where it's calm. Well, he replies back, they want snapper, they want bull reds. And I went that way already and didn't do all that well. So that put me at a standstill. My mind didn't, I didn't like it. I didn't like that at all because I wanted to go that way. I wanted to do what I did before. So it took me about an hour of being quiet. I didn't respond back. I'm listening. I'm like, okay. Chad, you got to make these adjustments. Yeah, I says, you got to make these adjustments. And I'm fighting it. I'm like, okay, I'll make these adjustments. So I text him back. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that'd be good. I'll go ahead and I'll go to East Bay. It'll be calm out of their weather and this and stuff. And I might be able to catch some red snappers. They said, yeah, in the river they had some redfish the other day. Try that. So I got up and I went that way, the way I didn't want to go. So I went that way. We end up getting there to the spot. It wasn't that rough. We caught our snappers. We get in the river. We catch our redfish. And, oh, by the way, the pressure was really on me because he said they also want to get in early. Okay? So I'm going places I hadn't been in a while, going places that I really didn't want to go. It's contrary to everything that God's telling me. So I get there. We catch the red snapper quick. We get in the river. We catch the reds. And we catch sheep's head because they needed some sheep's head. And where I was at before I was catching them, I didn't know if there was going to be any here. So we had them all before 11 o'clock, got in early, and I'm like, I get in, and then I talk to one of my other brothers and say, I went over that way, and we didn't do good today. And I'm like, if I would have went that way and did it my way, I would have had a totally different outcome. You got to listen to the Spirit. Your flesh is contrary against Him, and you got to really listen. A lot of times, most of the time, it's contrary to what you want to do. And so that was a great example of this right here. It's so important to stay worded up in the Word, prayed up, staying in the Spirit. It takes practice to pull away from the flesh and live after the Spirit of Yah by the Torah. That's what he said. And that's a very true statement. And we say, getting back to the word Torah, we say Torah for the first five books of the Bible. There are the prophets, which would be called the Nevi'im. If you look up the prophets are called the Nevi'im. The Psalms and the other writings would be called the Ketuvim. And all these together would be called the Tanakh. So if you ever hear pastors say the Tanakh, or Brother Herman, or Brother Scott, might say Tanakh, it's all of them. Or it would be related to, most people say, the Old Testament. Okay? And then so, but most of the time we just say Torah, the Torah. You can say the Torah, the Tanakh, or you can break it down. Now, there's this word, covenant. Most people identify the Bible as the Old Testament and the New Testaments. But it's the covenant, the promise and agreement between Yah and Israel. Israel is people. Like wedding vows, a forever promise between two. And the Brit Hadishah is a commentary of the original. But it's a new one because we have the first man keep it all without breaking it, right? He kept all the wedding vows without breaking them. And he took the penalty for the original being broken for a new wedding between Yah and his people Israel, including the foreigners or Gentiles who get grafted in because of their belief also. You can read that in Scripture. In Revelations, our last Shabbat, I want to reflect on Revelations chapter 17, verse 14. Y'all could turn there if y'all want to. I'm already there already because I have it in my notes. Revelation 17, 14. It's just a little verse, you know. It says, they shall fight with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is the Master of masters, and He's the Sovereign of sovereigns. And those with Him are called the chosen and the trustworthy. So just like in a marriage, being engaged, you're showing yourself to be trustworthy. Me and my wife, we're showing ourselves to be trustworthy. You don't look at another. Your eyes aren't supposed to be looking at something else. The same thing with the Bible teaches. The world is full of lust, evil, wickedness, adultery. It's not trustworthy. It follows after everything that Satan, Hasatan, is. Hasatan is described in the Bible as a liar. He comes to lie, deceive, to cheat. He comes to murder. He comes to kill. He seeks to destroy. And he's the father of it all. And that's what the world follows after. It never, ever can ever be trusted because it's always ready to stab you in your back. It only lasts so long. That's why it says a lot of times, you know, things may not go the way that you like when the pastor or teacher tries to tell you something and you want to revert to somebody else to kind of lean up against to kind of go with the way that you want to go. And the way that you want to go, Father's telling you, don't go that way. The Spirit's telling you, don't go that way. So you lean on somebody to make you feel better to go that way. And all along, it's a trickery and a lie of the enemy to pull you and bait you off sides, to get you to do as he does, lie, cheat, steal, not be trustworthy, just like the whoredom of the world. And then before you know it, things look like they're going good for maybe a couple of months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, but you know it's coming. The enemy don't play. He lets you go for a little while, and it's all doing good. It looks like, I got it, and bam! He hits you in something, and he takes something that you really love away from you, that the Father would have protected you in, but he takes it. And sometimes it doesn't kill that opposition, whatever it is you love, right away. It gives you a chance to teshuva. And it got consequences to pay, but it gives you a chance. He's merciful like that, and he loves us like that. He disciplines and he chastises those he loves. Micah chapter 4, 11 through 12. So that's what we're doing this whole time, is that we're showing just like Yeshua did to the Father. He proved to him his love for him. He proved to him he wouldn't lie, cheat, steal. He'd do everything he said. Proved himself all the way through. It says in Micah chapter 4, 11 and 12, "And now many nations shall be gathered against you who are saying, let her be defiled, and let our eyes look upon Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of Yah, nor do they understand his counsel. For he has gathered them like sheaves to the threshing floor." It kind of reminds me of a husband and a wife that are really, truly married and faithful to one another. And, you know, the husband would protect his wife at all costs. You know, if I was to go out in New Orleans and somebody was to come up against my wife, I would go and defend my wife. I love my wife. And so the same thing with the Father. The Father sees the wickedness and all that coming against us. And it all comes down to that day where he sees the bride. She's just being attacked. Just being attacked. All the way down to the last, on that last time, and she's going down for the last time. And he's like just waiting and waiting. And all of a sudden, here he comes, the big shield of protection, the husband of the bride, just like this. This is my bride. And he takes all those wicked, all the evil ones that come against her, just gathers the sheaves up to burn them all and get rid of them. This is my bride. And I'm going to shield her and I'm going to protect her. You just watch and see what I'm going to do. That's my bride. It's the same thing with Yeshua, all the way to the last. Took his last breath on the cross, where it was all said and done. It looked like it was all over. He's got the most incredible story. It's all said and done. The enemy's won. He's got him dead. He's in the grave. And in 3 days, what did he do? He raised him up. Same thing he's going to do with the bride. He's going to raise him up. You just trust me. I'm telling you, keep your garments white. It's like a wedding dress. Keep them white with what? Righteousness. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's what it's like. Heaven is going to come to earth. Right now it's tainted and stained with wickedness and evil. So like a husband that defends his bride from anyone would try to harm her, like Haman in the book of Esther. We got book after book that tells us about a bride and a bridegroom. It says, like Haman in the book of Esther, who had no clue what was about to happen to him. The day of vengeance is reserved for those who have plotted against the obedient chosen of Yah, Yisrael, his bride. And that same thing falls on those of us who choose to not follow Yah and to follow Yeshua. Same thing will happen to us. There's two categories. There's not no in-between. We could play the game all we want to, in and out of church, in and out of church. We're going to fall into the sheaves. We're going to get burned up with the rest. And here's the difference. We're living in a time we call ourselves Christians and believers, set apart ones. What are we doing to prove that towards Yah? Because it's all a proof towards him or what we want him to be. It says, Yah calls this world system of living outside of his Torah a dark, evil, false system that he will destroy in due time. Remember, it's the protection over his bride. He's going to protect her from everything that's wrong and wicked and evil and backstabbing. So if we're not practicing those things, we just can't kid ourselves, because you're not welcome in that kingdom. That's not what the kingdom's about. He will destroy in due time. In Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 10, just reflecting back on that last Shabbat, Revelation 18, 1 through 10. And after this, I saw another messenger coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was lightened from his esteem. And he cried with a mighty voice, saying, Babel the great has fallen, has become a dwelling place of demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, and a haunt for every unclean and hated bird, because all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her whoring, and the sovereigns of the earth have committed whoring with her. You know, it's going to build, and it's going to build, just like the day of Noah. It's going to build, it's going to get evil and wicked, and it's just going to smother all the bride, just like she's almost gone. Darkness, 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 darkness. It's going to pile up to all of a sudden he's going to reverse it. And all of heaven's going to take over for 1,000 years. Everything's going to be prepped. You're going to have the hoopah. Everybody's going to come back here and just going to take over. All in the Torah. Everything's going to take over from the kingdom of heaven. It's going to be a reversal. Everything will build, and it's going to be a reversal. It says, Babel the great has fallen and has become a dwelling place of demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit and a haunt for every unclean and hated bird, because all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her whoring, and the sovereigns of the earth have committed whoring with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her riotous living. And I heard another voice from the heavens saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. Because her sins have piled up to reach the heaven. See? They piled up so high to reach the heaven. And Elohim has remembered her unrighteousnesses. Render to her as she indeed did render, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix for her double. As much as she esteemed herself and lived righteously, so much torture and grief give to her, because in her heart she says, I sit as the sovereignness, and I am not a widow, and I do not see mourning at all. Because of this, her plague shall come in one day, death and mourning, scarcity of food, and she shall be burned up with fire, because Yah, Elohim, who judges her, is mighty. And the sovereigns of the earth who committed whoring and lived riotously with her shall weep and mourn over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torture, saying, Woe, woe, the great city Babel, the mighty city, because your judgment has come in 1 hour. There is a big difference between the whoredom and a couple who's bonded to a marriage till death do us part. You see that? It all stems and goes underneath, yeah. His kingdom in the heavens is perfect and has no death in it. It's life eternal. This world is corrupted with practicing and doing opposite of all that he is. Yeshua is our perfect example of the bride loving the bridegroom. He loves everything the Father loves, and he hates everything the Father hates. The feast days prep us up to the wedding day. Why would anyone want to be married to someone if they don't know anything about them? See what I mean? What in the world is it good to have a salvation ticket if you don't know anything about the bridegroom? You got to know something about the bridegroom. You got to draw to his interests. You got to love what he loves. You got to hate what he hates. Why would you carry around with you some paganism that doesn't belong to him, that he hates? What are you going to say on the day you get to him? What are you carrying that for? It has nothing to do with me. That's wickedness. That's evilness. I don't share with darkness at all. And in him, there's no darkness at all. So getting back to that promise ring I have for my girlfriend before I married her, this scripture reminded me of a ring between me and Yah. And this has stuck to me ever since. You can't peel me off of it. There's no thinking about work anymore. You can't peel me away from it. It's sunk in since I've heard it, and it's in Exodus. And you, in Exodus 31:13, and you speak to the children of Israel, saying, my Shabbats, or Sabbaths, you are to guard by all means, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations to know that I am Yah and I'm setting you apart. That's my engagement ring. Today, this is my engagement ring to the Father. And I will not let nothing come between me and him. It's setting me forever to death. Whatever happens first, he comes or I go to the grave. This is what I got clear understanding in. When I used to come to church on Sundays, I think about it. I was thinking about it this morning while I was taking care of my dogs, giving them water and letting them run out in the yard for a little while. I said, man, remember that? Yeah. So I used to come faithfully on Sundays. He said, yeah, but I graced you. He said, the whole time you was in that, I graced you for that. He said, but now you know the truth. And now you know what it is. And now you got to pull other people in the life that you live out of the bondage that they may be in that don't even know about it. So Yah's system is a relationship of father, son, bride and a bridegroom, loving everything he loves and hating everything he hates. Wedding vows of a bride, staying unstained from the world's selfish system. Love Yah with all and love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that in the scripture that's in the Torah? It says, love Yah with all your heart, all your mind, all your being. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, when Yeshua came, it was according to Isaiah, and I'm going to read that. In Isaiah, it foretold something that was going to happen. And he came and started to fulfill those. He came to destroy the works of the devil. You know, it didn't dawn on me until these last couple of days I started thinking about it, listening to different messages and all. You know, you would think, oh, we're going to come and destroy the works of the devil by pointing something out that he does and work on it. But that's not at all what it means. What it means when you follow the path that Yeshua followed, we're supposed to follow him. When we see somebody coming to a church service that we've been talking to and just loving and just being a light to them, when they come in and they accept Yah, like Brother Mike Skindora, for instance. He was in bondage at one time. Now all those things are breaking off. You know who put that on him? The devil did. The devil put him in bondage. And what did Yeshua come to do? He come to break away those things. He come to break away all the works of the devil. So whenever you're shining your light and helping a brother or sister, all those things start coming off. You destroy the works of the devil off of their life. Everything that the devil put on them that he worked so hard to get on them, you just took it all off of him. So that's what Yeshua came to do. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Take people out of sickness and disease. Take people out of bondage and things that they was raised up in that they had no clue about. So it would be a light to the world. If we keep playing around and not really do the things that we're supposed to do, and we're out being supposed to be a light, we're not being a light, there's a person that we're supposed to be being a light to that's in bondage. And shame on us if we don't ever get it right. That person stays in bondage. You got to meet up with Yah on that, on your relationship. That's not a good thing. But if you're living up to it and doing it, you're going to take a person that's been in bondage out of bondage and destroy the works of the devil. Babylonia is a self-made system glorifying self that comes from Hasatan, the liar, the thief, the murderer who hates people. And Yeshua said, and Yeshua basically said, I'm nothing like him. I'm the good shepherd. It's in John 10:10-11. John 10:10-11. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to slaughter and to destroy. But Yeshua said, I have come that they might possess life and that they might possess it beyond measure. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I come to give life. The devil comes to take it. He comes to destroy you. He comes to put you in bondage. He's a liar. He's a thief. He comes to slaughter and destroy. But I come to give life. I'm nothing like him. Don't mix me with him. I'm nothing like him at all. So there's a difference between Yeshua, Jesus, and Hasatan. And we need to know those differences that we're not playing the same game and following and being a murderer like Hasatan. When we follow and do the things that he does, we hurt people. We destroy people like he does. We become his puppet. We grumble and complain, do things we're not supposed to be doing that lines up with Torah. We're his puppet, and we're hurting people, hurting ourselves. We're supposed to put on righteousness, like a white dress of a bride unstained from this world. We must follow our master as he followed the Father's instructions, foretold in the book of Isaiah, and came into fruition to destroy the works of the devil in the book of Luke. So turn with me there in Isaiah 61, 1 through 11. It was foretold here what was going to happen, and it came into fruition later on in Luke. And Yeshua started it all, just like it was foretold. Yah said in the book of Yeshua, Isaiah 61, 1 through 11, the spirit of the master Yah is upon me, because Yah has anointed me to bring good news to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yah and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion, to give them embellishment for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And they shall be called trees of righteousness, a planting of Yah, to be adorned. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, raise up the former wastes, and they shall restore the ruined cities, the wastes of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Can you hear that? Even the foreigners are going to have a job to be your plowmen, your vine dressers. But you shall be called priests. You'll be called priests of Yah. Servants of our Elohim shall be said of you. You shall consume the strength of the nations and boast in their esteem. Instead of your shame and reproach, they rejoice a second time in their portion. Therefore, they take possession a second time in their land. Everlasting joy is theirs. For I, Yahweh, love right ruling. What does he love? What does he love? Right ruling. I hate. What does he hate? I hate robbery for a sending offering. And I shall give their reward in truth and make an everlasting covenant with them. There's the word covenant again. Promises. It's a promise. He holds to his promise. We must hold to ours to him. And their seed shall be known among the nations. It's the light. And their offspring in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they or the seed of Yah has blessed. I greatly rejoice in Yah. My being exalts in my Elohim. For he has put garments. What? Garments of deliverance on me. There's the word garment. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the seed to shoot up, so the master Yah causes righteousness and praise to shoot up before all the nations. It's going to be a reversal. And this prophecy went into motion the day Yeshua stood up and read, just after he was tried and tested by Hasatan and began destroying the works of the devil. Let's read it to prove it. This is how he tried to set apart one. He became the teacher, a true Israelite born of Yah by his spirit, in Luke chapter 4, 1 through 21. And Yeshua, being filled with set apart spirit, what did he have to have before he even goes in the wilderness? You got to have the set apart spirit. What is the set apart spirit led by? There's instructions, the Torah of Yah. It says, being filled with the set apart spirit, he returned from the yard in the Jordan and was led by the spirit into the wilderness, being tried for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he did not eat at all. And afterwards, when they ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you're the son of Elohim, command this stone to become bread. But Yeshua answered him, saying, it is written. What is he relating to? The Torah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of Elohim. He didn't look at the latest preacher, teacher on TV. I don't see that there. I don't see the latest religion or tradition. I see Torah. He read Torah. He learned Torah. He listened to the Spirit by Torah, the instructions of Yah. That he said, do not add to them, do not take away from them, for these are your life. And Yeshua answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from Elohim. And the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the reins of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I shall give to you in their esteem, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. If then you worship before me, all shall be yours. And Yeshua answered him, said, get behind me, Hasatan, for it has been written, you shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him only you shall serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the edge of the set-apart place, and said to him, if you are the son of Elohim, throw yourself down from here, for it has been written, he shall command his messengers concerning you to guard over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Yeshua answering him said, it has been said, you shall not try Yahweh your Elohim. He tried by all means to get Yeshua to put himself in charge. He tried to get him to rely on self. And he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to rely on me. I'm going to rely on my Father to provide and take care of me. I'm the bride. He's the bridegroom. Right? I'm going to rely on the one who's going to protect me, who's going to raise me up. I can't raise myself up. And when the devil had ended every trial, he went away from him until the convenient time. And if a master, a teacher, went through those things, what do you think we got to go through? We got to follow suit through the same things. He said, follow me. Follow me. And these things you do, I do, you do greater. And Yeshua returned in the power of the Spirit. He was in the power of the Spirit. You got to constantly be filled with the Spirit. And news of him went out throughout all the surrounding country. And he was teaching in their congregations, being praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and according to his practice, he went into the congregation on what day? The Shabbat, the Sabbath day, as he practiced it, and stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and having unrolled the scroll, he found the place where it was written. This was the place. This was the time. Yah had it all set up. The Spirit of Yah is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He's destroying the works of the devil. You hear that? To proclaim release to the captives and recovery to the sight of the blind. To send away crushed ones with a release. To proclaim the acceptable year of Yah. And having rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the congregation were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And the rest, y'all should know if you've read it. He came forward and he proceeded with everything he had just got finished saying, and he started doing it. His ministry went forward by the Spirit of Yah, and he started tearing up the works of the devil. And that's what happens. Everything the enemy means for horrible in your life, Yah turns it around for good. There's nothing that Yahweh cannot fix, cannot do. This book is our instructions to eternal life with the eternal Creator. It costs His Son to prove that, and all His followers must engage also to make it to the wedding day with Him. The world is so dark and deceptive, He warns us in the lighting of the menorah. The menorah always reminds me, even when I'm out there on the boat and doing other things, hey, keep the menorah lit in your life, because you can't go by the sight of your eyes or decide by the hearing of your ears. That's why sometimes in the past I made poor choices in my fishing days, because I decided by what I saw, what I thought of from yesterday or days ago, or the hearing of my ears. It takes practice to break away from the flesh. It really does. It takes time and practice. And after you get good at it, it's a peace in your life you would never, it's unexplainable. The true saying comes what happened with Moshe. He says, take your shoes off your feet. And relax. When you're in Yah in the Spirit, no matter what's going on around you or how you got to go, you relax. You're standing on set-apart ground, holy ground, set-apart. It's heavenly with Him always. It's like a force of heavenly always with you, as long as we're being obedient. We must engage with Him always by His Spirit, or even the very elect would be deceived. The Torah instructions by Yah and Yeshua's Spirit will guide us to life and destroy the works of the devil in the process. So just think about that. Next time we get upset about something or we're not following his instructions, think about the person that you could be destroying the works of the devil off of, or we could be adding to them. So that's all I've got. It's been a while since I've gotten up here. I don't even know what time it is. I don't care what time it is. I'm just listening to the Spirit of Yah. I love him, and I thank him for everything he's doing in our life and all those who are traveling to Indiana to destroy the works of the devil, to lift up all those who are broken, and just to have that great, great time together of fellowship and family with our brothers and sisters in Yeshua. Amen.